I need to apologize about the topic because the label was kind of a very generic label. It's sort of like a kol hanorim aliyah. And you know, we're deciding what to talk about, so a label needed to go out. I do want to touch about certain points of these weeks that are coming up. It's 3 weeks next week, and Tisha B'Av and so on. So I wanted to learn two or three points relevant. The first two or three points are sort of halachic points, not practical halacha, but more a sense of the thing. There's a mesoris that learning the halacha helps you connect to it. It's not only besides needing to know practically, which is obviously very important, but having a sense of the halachas. And so I want to do one or two points that are kind of general sense of what the days are about. I want to dwell specifically on a halachic point a little deeper. And then I would like to do one or two points out of the Kuzari, speaks about the meaning of Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael, and so on, which I think are very fundamental to understanding the day and so on. The first one is going to be, the first page one is Rambam in Hilchos Tainis. And the two points I want to see here, I'm not going to add much, but there are a lot, they give us a very good sense of what Tanesim are and so on. Aleph. Mitzvahs ase min haTorah lizok ulaharia b'chatzotros al kol tzara shetova letzibur. There's a mitzvahs ase to daven, lizok ulaharia is to daven, b'chatzotros, ulaharia b'chatzotros, a special mitzvah that used to have chatzotros, al kol tzara shetova letzibur. So the framework of Hilchos Tainis is as follows. When Klal Yisrael has any issue, it's a mitzvah to be misfollowed. Even though there is a general mitzvah to follow every day, and it's some Rishonim hold yes, some Rishonim hold no, but on a time of Atzara, there is a mitzvah to misfollow, and that's what the pasuk says, Alat shenema alat tzara tzara esfam esfam atzatzos. Kloma, kol dova sheyitza lechem, kegom, but anything that will weigh on you, any distress in Klal Yisrael, kegom, batzores, a hunger year, Dever, a plague, arba, or kiyotzeben, zarkolein, variyu. So the mitzvah's essay is always, whenever some event of distress happens in Klal Yisrael, to be mispala. And it's almost the opposite. We think that on a tiny sibur, they added on tefillahs that are longer and so on, I guess to take up the breakfast time, so you don't notice the missing breakfast, they added avinu malkeinu, some slichas. In a certain sense, the slichas of Avinu Malkeinu are more the focal point. It's a yom of tefillah, and this is talking about not the type of tainus that we observe. This is any time when Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, any time something happened of a national distress, they would have a mitzvah's essay to be mispalo, and especially to blow chatzotzos. V'dovazeh says, the Rambam says, midarkei tshuvah. This is a unique facet of tshuva. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings some sort of tzara to Klal Yisrael so that they do tshuva. The response falls under, it's another type of tshuva. V'dovah zeh l'tshuva shebizman shetovu tzara v'yizaku alav v'yoriyu. When some tzara befalls them and they misfollow, yedu hakol shebegal maseyim oroim hura lehem. It basically, what the tefillah does is it re-emphasizes that we are responsible in some degree for what happened. Kakasuv avanaseichem hitu v'chulu. V'zehu shigal en los asram leh. So when Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a very immediate sense of hashgacha. In other words, we felt, and it was correct, that the events have much more of a sense of aveiros and mitzvahs to it, rather than natural causes per se. That was a mitzvah to daven and to do tshuva on it. And this is called tainus in a generic sense. In other words, in the time, Masechta Tainus deals with this mainly. In the time of Klal Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash and so on, they would, anytime there would be a natural calamity of sorts, they would go and they would be goza tainus. Gimel. Avlim lo yizaku v'lo yiriyu, ela yom adov zeminiga olam, ira lanu, But Sarah's and Nikra Nikris, this Sarah happens, it's some sort of natural. Harezu derech Hatzoris, it's cruel, and what happens is it creates a vicious cycle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing more distress on Kali Yisrael and so on. Dalit, umedivrei sofrim, the Chachamim added to this process, lis anos hakol tzor shatav al tzivah shuch meshamayim. They added tinyness to this process so that it enhances it. A person is walks around less content, he feels the difficulty of fasting, it's a little bit less physical, a person becomes more sensitive spiritually. So tinyness is a setting for a tshuva process which focuses in tefillah. So the first point I just wanted to, the next piece is not continuous, is to introduce the concept of tainus in general. The Rambam says that tainus in its more specific sense, which is having some sort of event or difficulty befalling Klai Yisrael, we're supposed to be mispalo. The focus of the tefillah is to acknowledge we've done wrong, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reverse it through promising tshuva, and Chachamim added tainus as a setting. This was called a tainus tzibur. This is the original format of a tainus, and the Gemara tainus proceeds with how it works, who fasts when, and so on and so forth. That's really the focus on Sefer Tainus. A corollary of this, take a look at the next page, page 2. Now, this is already the fifth page of the Rambam. The Rambam went through four prakim of describing all sorts of different tanesim and so on, of these tanesim and the process. Generally speaking, there's an increasing severeness to the tanesim and so on. Perek Hamishi, Aleph. Yesham yamim shekol yisrael mis'anim behem v'bnei atzorah she'iru behem. Besides these tanesim, which are meant to be on a current tzar, there are days that Klal Yisrael fast because of events that happen. What's that all about? Kedei, similar, la'orer alevavos v'leftoach darkei tshuva, to awaken us and do tshuva, v'yezeh zikaron l'maseinu haroyim, it will be a remembrance for bad things we did, u'maizeh v'seinu shehoyek maseinu ata. The types of things that our forefathers did that are like us, which caused them and subsequently to us those tzaros. Now, I'd like to stop a minute and just explain a point. There's a book that I have at home. I think it's called Sefer HaDumos, if I'm not mistaken, the Book of Tears. It's three fat volumes about all the tzaros that has befallen Klal Yisrael from Bayesheni, I think. I don't think it was during, if I remember correctly, it was post Bayesheni probably started, until that very day. And it's three volumes of about 1,000 pages. So Klal Yisrael suffered many, many tzaros, and yet the days of tainus are only four. On what basis do we choose these days of tainus? As a parenthetic remark about that book, I need to quote something from the introduction. It was written by somebody I think called Berenfeld, and he says, you know, I've written so many books, I've written all these terrible tzaros and so on and so forth, and imagine that we'd think that today, in a modern civilized era, that these things would not be happening, and look at what we're suffering in Europe, and look how terrible it is. It was written in 27. So that's three volumes. This is written in 1927. I found that stunning when I read it. No, he's reading it. And I was thinking, yeah, of course, I would expect. And I say, one second, he writes it in 27. But at any rate, where did Chachamim pick? I mean, if we'd be fasting all those days, we'd long be dead of starvation. I mean, it is not a day that's passed that hasn't. And the answer is the Rambam is pointing out, Chazal picked points that they feel are so deep in the psyche of Klal Yisrael, like Chet HaMeraglim, wasn't something that only happened then. Chazal have identified it as belonging somewhere still in the psyche of Klal Yisrael. head of the eagle. The pasuk says, whenever samsara will come, you're going to get something with, because the Torah felt, the Torah identified these elements as things that are very deep in the psyche of Yisrael. And therefore, these days, these 4 days that David goes with Highness on, they serve to touch base that we have not yet gotten rid of all of those elements. The Gemara says a stira whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes children or not. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it depends if they carry on with what their parents did wrong or not. Because if they carry on, then it's a deeper problem. It's a rooted problem, and you need to uproot it. So these days are special. They're also days of tshuva, but not for current sars, as much as for the fact that we need to open up and find out what happened over there. And then he goes through the Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Tevish, Rasa B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av. Now, okay, so these were two introductions about Tainus in general that I felt it was important. Tainus Esther was a much later type of Tainus. In other words, the Rama mentions it, it's a minhag, sort of, and that he mentions it. Hey, but these are the Tainus that's about. So the first two points are Tainus in general, the essential Tainus where it comes from, and these Tainus. Now I'd like to dwell on a specific point about Tisha B'Av, and this is more of a halachic principle, and I would like to go a drop into depth. Let's look at page 3. The Rambam says, "Ubikula, in all of these tanesim, ochlin v'shosin balayla, you can eat and drink at night, chutz mi Tisha B'Av, except for Tisha B'Av, which is exactly what we do." It's obviously Yom Kippur is not, Yom Kippur doesn't belong in these categories. Yom Kippur has its own halachas, and it's not relevant to this. Vav, mishi kanes av, mimatim besimcha. When av comes about, you have to start being mimat besimcha, and he goes through the things that we do, the hair cutting and the cleaning and the washing, etc., etc. Zayin. Now, Tisha B'Av, he says, Leilu kiyomo l'chol davar. Tisha B'Av, the night is like the day, meaning not only you can't eat, you can't wash, and so on. Ve'ein ochlin ela mibod yom. You can only eat when it's still day. U'bein ashmashes shelo, and bein ashmashes, also yom kippur, is also like yom kippur. Now, let's maybe just finish the halacha, and then we'll try to deal with the pieces. But lo yochel basal ishta yayin besudah mafsik ba. A person should not eat meat or drink wine in the sudah mafsik ba. Avol shosu yayin migito. He can drink like something that's just fresh off the press. Vaochel basal maliach shasham ayosa. You can eat all salted meat. I guess technically salami would work. But we don't. Below Yochos and Apshilin and so on. Let's look over this halacha a little more intensely. The first thing that strikes us is Bein Ashmashas Shalom Osek Yom Kippur. It's Bein Ashmashas is also like Yom Kippur. Now, the first problem is that we know that Bein Ashmashas is halachically a category of a suffering. That's what its category is. The halacha is any suffix that arises the chumrah, any suffix that abonis the kula. We don't always cut the line. We don't always look for the kula. You know, if somebody has a suffix, if it's already after the night to eat the tzom gedalia or whatever, it technically, if it's a real suffix, it also dies a suffix that abonis the kula. But you know, it's not a mitzvah to cut it that down to the line. But fine, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is also the Rabbanan. It's only the Rabbanan. And he says it's usher to eat Bein Ashmashas. For us, Lamashal, if somebody would ask us on a tiniest Rabbanan, like Tzom Gedalia, it's the morning already, and we're not sure if it's day or night. Somebody would ask Rabbi Rosenberg, can I eat or not? The answer would be, if you don't have to, it's already a suffix, stay out. If we really, you know, push comes to shove, even if it's not fish, but there's some Rabbanan Kula. But the Rambam, we would pass off Rabbanan Kula. Where does he get the halacha? So it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Pesachim, and take a look at page 4. The Gemara has a shaila. It says that there's Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are similar in almost every aspect. The Gemara goes through trying to find out where there would be a difference. And the Gemara says, it's Dorash Rava, Ubris and Nikos is Anas Vashim, like Dorash and Anas Vashim Yom Kippur. It's in the middle, I'm just quoting at random. Ubein Ashmashal also. So it does say that there are also Ubein Ashmashal Yom Kippur, and it does say there are also Ubein Ashmashal of Tisha B'Av. Fine. So let's say the Rabbanan made a chumrah. The Rabbanan said it's usr because it's chumr, it's a real, it's a timeless, it's a very chumr the time is on. But what's the mashal like Yom Kippur? It's not like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is also because Sofik the rice is l'chumrah. Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed at night, you're not allowed in the day, but it's not, the reason why it's usr is not because it's Yom Kippur. You know, if let's just give a mashal. I want to sharpen what bothers me in the lashon. When you give a mashal, when you give an analogy, not it has to be as close to heart. So the mashal, if I see somebody eating a piece of something or other that it's not sure if it's kosher now, and I think it's not so kosher, but this person is kind of he doesn't care about his callous. So I tell him you should know. If you're eating X, it's like you're eating a piece of chazer. That's a very, very good analogy. Because he just thinks it's not quite a treif, and I'm telling you, it's really treif. That analogy is common. But if I tell him, if you eat this, it's like you're wearing shabbos. Well, yes, they're both alav, but it's a sloppy, sloppy analogy. You know, it doesn't logically, you don't, an analogy like that is sloppy. I mean, you're trying to sharpen your point with the analogy. I'm not saying it's like that. The Rambam says, well, you should know that it's usr, it's usr, it's like Yom Kippur. Well, it's not like Yom Kippur. It's because Chachamim made it very chomer, and they said, no sveikah deraisa, the Rabban over here. No sveikah Rabban lekul over here. But why has it become like Yom Kippur? The second point is, and again, reading the Rambam carefully, Rambam was written extremely carefully. The Rambam says, ubein hashmoser shelo osik Yom Kippur. It's bein hashmoser, this is like Yom Kippur. Well, why does it say sofik Tisha B'Av machmirim boy or something like that? And then he says v'lo yochal basav lishtegayim besudah mafsik bo, and so on. I'm a little bit, the Rambam's division of halachas are also very careful. Not eating basav and drinking wine and so on and so forth, these are kind of minhagim of a whole different order than this din of fasting on not eating during Ben Hashmashas. The Rambam should have made it a new aloha somewhere afterwards. It should have continued. And what about Sudas and Mafsekis? But not together. Here he's listing the main alohas. He spoke about the Tainus, the Dinei, Kibbutz, Sipur, so on and so forth, and so on. He also, if anything, I would have stuck in this halacha right at the top line. In every time you can eat and drink at night except for Tisha B'Av. And then I would have gone on to it. The Rambam cuts a new halacha here, which includes Sudas and Mafsekes. Also seems to be very sloppy. The right way to do it would have been, you can't eat in day and in night, and Ben Hashmashas is no heta. Then he lists the other thing, and then he goes on to Surah Mafsekes, which is kind of a minor type of Allah. There are other details, if anyone has the time. The Mechas Chinuch speaks a lot about this on page 5. I'm not going to go into it, but take a look at the Chinuch on page 5. The Sefer Chinuch is a Rishon. We don't know who he is exactly. We know he was a Levi. His name was Aaron, but we haven't identified. He was definitely Rashba's. He was from the big Rishonim, and his lashon is—it's the middle of that page. The middle of page 5 is the Chinuch. Vodiachla. He says like this. He says, you know what? I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tisha B'Av, even though it has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. It's the pages are reversed. It's page 6 starts the piece, and he says, I will now speak a little bit about Tisha B'Av, even though it's very different Yom Kippur. Even though it's two separate days, I remember as a young boy, I was in the third or fourth grade, the Rebbe was telling us, Tisha B'Av is a sad day, Yom Kippur is a serious day. And I did understand the difference, but I didn't know the word serious meant. I don't, was at a stage where the vocabulary was said was part of vocabulary, but serious was not. And I was trying to match it to other things. I remember very clearly. So he says, it's different. But Lefisha Shein Tainis Kolalam, because they both are called a Tainis, Nedababo Ma'at. I do want to discuss Tisha B'Av, he says. Vodiyacha, and I'll tell you, Sheikh Mirabo Chacham Becholin Yonu, Kimo Yom Kippur. They were machma like Yom Kippur. So also he draws the analogy in Kippur and says, you know what? I'm introducing it to Yom Kippur because even though the motif behind it is very different, but still it has a lot of similarities. So I would like to maybe explain, try to develop a point as far as understanding the commonness and so on. The halacha b'chlal, Suga Mafsekes, is also, it seems to us like it's hard to understand that Suga Mafsekes, it says you're not allowed to eat two tafshilim Suga Mafsekes. You can't eat two cooked items. And that's why the minig is you eat a hard boiled egg, a piece of bread, and water, so the tafshil is the hard boiled egg, and so on. It's something that's a little bit hard to be koveya, because Suga Mafsekes doesn't seem to be a real entity unto itself. It should be the last meal you eat before the tainis. There's no mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah to sit and eat Suda Mafsekes? What if a guy didn't eat Suda Mafsekes? Is he missing something? You know, Suda Mafsekes happens to be the last time you eat before. But it seems that Suda Mafsekes is an entity. What is it that did? And I once heard from Shmuel Kamenetsky once at a shir, and he quoted his father that Suda Mafsekes is a positive entity. It's not just the last time you have to eat. It shouldn't be, you know, two things. So I'd like to describe it as follows. There is no such thing in halacha as a unit of time that starts in the morning and finishes at night. There's no such unit. Yom as a unit, as an entity, is from night through the day. When Chachamim were gozer to fast from morning till night, on the regular tainis, it's not really, we call it a tainis, but it's not a yom tzom. It's not a day that has gotten a meaning on the calendar. During, we fast, we refrain from eating because that stimulates us to do tshuva and tzmahoras and so on and so forth. But it's not a tainis in the sense of being a yom tainis. So therefore, it's something which we fast during that day, and it's called a tainis shows. The Chazal call that type of tainis a tainis shows because it's an amount of time not to eat. You haven't, I don't want to use the word sanctified, but you haven't dedicated the day as a yom tainis. A yom tainis, in the sense that what's called a tainis tzibur, what Masechta Tainis deals with in its original form, is a unit of time, which is a morning and a night, that is a Yom Tainis. We have one, which is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Yom Kadosh. It's a Yom Kadosh, and it's a Yom Tzom. Yom Tzom Kippur. It's a day that has a sanctity of Kedusha, and it has a dedication of Tainis. Kitshu Tzom, it says the Pasuk. Dedicate a fast. Kiru Atzara. Then, there are other days that Chachamim said, fasting will help the process of remembering what happened, understanding where we've gone wrong with it, and doing tshuva and so on and so forth. Then there's a second category, and that's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, the Chachamim said, it's going to be a yom of tainis. And the only model that we have for that is Yom Kippur. So if we're looking for a model of a yom, that's the only thing, because the other fast days, Tisha B'Av is not a super Shavasa B'Tamos. It's an analogy to Yom Kippur, because that's what it is. It's a day that's been dedicated to fasting, and therefore, what's Nogea de Halacha of the suffix of Bein Hashmashos, that's a very important suffix, because other fakers, for instance, if you pass in a shayla, if somebody comes to you doesn't feel well in Tisha B'Av, it's a very different shayla to paskin than if you don't feel well in Yom Kippur. It's two worlds. It's not the same. You don't pass because of the rest of Chumrah on Tisha B'Av and anything else. The only thing that he mentions that has that flavor of suffix of a direction is only this din. And he says so. For Bein HaShmashes, why? Because in this prat, since we wanted to be a day of Tainis, and the only model that we have for a day is in Kippur, so we made it takana that it be the same. It starts with Shkia, Bein HaShmashes is included in. And so even though technically the reason for that is something that I say chumrah, because if we failed to pass time, we could say it, but the takana at least has a reason why the takana was set up like that. It was set up like that because its content emulates a day of tainus. The only tainus that we have is Yom Kippur. The other days are days that we fast, but they're not a yom of tainus in the real sense. I think that that's why the Rambam also includes the inyanim of a Surah Mafsekis in it. We asked Surah Mafsekis, if I understood Reb Shmuel correctly when he said over from his father, from Reb Yaakov, what he meant was as follows. Again, I mean, it's my sense of what he meant, but I think that's pretty much. Just, why are we mekabbling ourselves Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, we're mekabbling ourselves Yom Kippur. Just like the mekabbling Shabbos, we're mekabbling Yom Kippur. Because creating, if Yom Kippur was just that I'm not allowed to eat, then whether you like it or not, as soon as it's dark, you're not allowed to eat. You mekabel Yom Kippur, not just the kedusha of the day like Shabbos. You mekabel on yourself in the nusach that you say in Yom Kippur. You mekabel on yourself the tainus or the inuyim. The answer is because Yom Kippur means to dedicate a day of a yom of tzom. These are elements of the yom, and therefore accepting it is an important part of it. And that's why Surah Mafsekes is an important element, because Surah Mafsekes means I am cutting now. Cut the day and start now a new day. So Surah Mafsekes is not just the last meal you happen to eat when you could still eat. Surah Mafsekes is a declaration. Ad kana kof aleph. Till now it's Tisha B'Av, Shabbat doesn't come, Tisha B'Av will be Tuesday. Monday evening, when I eat the Surah Mafsekes, I'm creating the Yom of Tisha B'Av because I'm being mafsik. It's not the last Surah; it's the Surah Mafsekes. So it's possible to give the Surah Mafsekes halachas. A Surah Mafsekes has to have a certain Surah to it because it's not just the last time you ate; it's the Surah that declares Ad Kan Achilas. Chesbav, Mikan Veilich, and that's why you have to make it tonight. If it's Surah Mafsekes, you have to have a mind, you have to say. But at any rate, one would assume that the time starts now, unless you specially create an exception for it. But so the Rambam puts that together, these halachas. And that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying Tisha B'Av is very different than other Tanaisim. Other Tanaisim are about fasting. Tisha B'Av is about being a Yom Tanais. The way we see it is that it starts from the day to the night, and the only model we have for that is Yom Kippur. And the chumrah that Chachamim incorporated was a chumrah that speaks to it. It's the eating bein hashmashos because that sort of is part of what creates the day as such. And the Rambam says, and since it's a day on a tainis lamashal like on the type of tainis like Tzom Gedalia or Shabbos Betamuz, there could never be a halacha. What are you allowed to eat? A guy wakes up early in the morning. So there's certain halachas about eating before davening and so on. You know, a half hour or something. But no, you can eat whatever you want. If you're in the mood at 3 in the morning for a steak, and, you know, a big steak and gravy, there's no halacha that would limit it. Because there's no Surah Mafsekes. Surah Mafsekes is only, in that case, would only mean the last thing I eat in the morning before it dawned and so on. But in Tisha B'Av, since I'm creating a Yom of Tainis, I therefore am doing it with a Surah Mafsekes. And Surah Mafsekes has a lachas, it has to have a surah ready of a surah that's sort of bringing on Tisha B'Av. Those are the three elements I want to discuss in the sort of the halacha of Tisha B'Av. The inyan of Tainis general, the inyan of Taneisim that are zikaren, and this specific nekuda over here. Now I'd like to touch on more something a little bit about the substance of the day and so on. The sefer I chose, I like learning a lot. Texts, it's always good to know what it says than what I said. So I'd like to go through two pieces in the Kuzari, if time will allow. And they are deal with Eretz Yisrael. The Kuzari was written by, and again, you'll excuse me if I'm saying something everybody knows, but there's always a chashash not, and I'd like to know, I'd like to explain on whose shoulders was it. Kuzari was one of the first Rishonim. He was the father of Devin Ezra. He was known for his poetry. Some of the kinnis are his. He was a tremendously beautiful writer, and his kinnis are just, and some of his piyutim, and some of his zmiris are extraordinarily beautiful. He is actually brought la halacha. One of the great halachic issues of the last generation was decided partially by something that Kuzri speaks about, the dateline, actually, international dateline. It's he and another Rishon are the pillars of it. He was very early. He was like kind of in the 1000 type of time frame. This book, this sefer that he wrote, he was also tremendous. This sefer that he wrote, Sefer Kuzari, is written as a dialogue between the king of the Khazars, who was a tribes in Central Asia that there's legend, it doesn't make a difference. That they converted to Judaism through some process of dialogue. He presents a book as if this was a dialogue between a Jew and the king of the Khazari, and he uses it as a platform just to explain basic principles of Judaism. And it's a very, very fundamental work, a very important work. And one of the things that's very, very dominant is his love for Eretz Yisrael. He did go to Eretz Yisrael at the end of his years. He was supposedly killed as soon as he got there. Those are already stories, but he did make that soul, and his Avos Yisrael was awesome, and it's extraordinary sefer. There are two pieces. One is about Karbonis and Beis Hamikdash, and the second piece is more about Eretz Yisrael itself, and if there's any sense of Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh. So the first one is on page, 7. It's kind of a little bit blotted out. Okay. It's on the right-hand side. Omar Kuzari, Chof Hei, it starts anew after the line over there. Dailo b'mashamat b'yizeh, I'm happy whatever you explain to me about a certain thing. Va'ata v'ashamcha kiti v'neini, kol ha-shekrasi b'tara karbonis. I want to understand about karbonis. Dova shekosha la-secha l'kabli. Things that have a very hard time understanding, it's just a rational person doesn't deal well with these things. L'moshel says, mashanema, es karboni lachmi l'isha reyach nechoichi. Karbanis are God's bread. I mean, how could that be? He says, the karbanis go to God and there is food. It doesn't make any sense. So the Kuzari speaks at length. I'm not going to go through it because it's not so much the point I want to deal with. And I'll just sketch what he wants to say. He says that just like the human body consists of a body, which is very physical, and it requires physical input. You need physical oxygen, physical water, physical food, and so on and so forth. Once that's in place, within that body, that's one of those things that we find it hard to understand, there is something that is more than the body, and that's the soul. So the soul needs a certain platform on which to be, but it itself transcends the body and is of a much different substance, and so on and so forth. That's the human person, human body. The same thing, he says, is true about the Beis HaMikdash. And as God in the world is the analogy is God to the world is the soul to the body. By analogy, both of them are not of the same substance, but both of them are prerequisite. Before Hashem chooses to dwell in this world, he needs a platform on which to be, as he dictated. So just like there's a biological platform, which conforms to a lot of strict biological laws, what you need, a person should be alive, and yet life is more than the sum total of the hands and feet, the stomach. There's over here more also. So he goes through it and explains a lot about how the Avodah Beis HaMikdash was a sort of a more refined body. Each element of Beis HaMikdash represents things analogous to a body, and together they became a platform for Hashem to dwell. So it's not the bread that God needs, but the bread that will cause Hashem to be there. That's the point that goes through. I want to start towards the end. Let's go to the next page, which is page 9. And he goes through, he draws an analogy to each and every one of the elements of the body and so on. The little chavzayin, Omar Kuzari. Hifleis elam shem sholcha, achava. I really like that mashal, it's really good. Ulam, he says, there's something missing. Ala roish b'chush adayin shemat moshmecha. You told me what the hands are, what the feet is, what the stomach, what the liver, what the kidneys. We're missing the head. Va'afla al shem mishcha. Okay, the Jew answers. Okay, he says, Sheirish HaChachma, the root of wisdom is Aseres HaDibris, Mufkad Ba'ara, which is in the Ara, Ashur Madregas Aleif, which was sort of the heart, Ushulchosov, Hein Divrei Sefer HaTorah, Shusim Mitzad Aron, and the veins and everything comes from it, is the Torah, Kakasuv, Esamfes Mitzad Aron, B'Sha Shem Lekecha. Po HaMokar L'Shtei HaChachmas. Here you have two wisdoms are there in one place. Chochmas HaTorah, Shenosei Makohanim, the wisdom of Torah, V'chochmas HaLokus, and divine wisdom, Shenosei Manaviyim, who are the prophets. Let me just explain just this point. What it means is the halacha, so to speak, and the agadah, the part of Torah which tells you what you're supposed to do, the points, the things, and the neshama of it. So the Kohanim used to pass the Shailas, like it says, V'bosa l'koyin ashrimecha, Yeru mishpatecha, and so on and so forth. The Navi was the spirit of God. So the heart and the mind were in the Ara. The Eilevel, it's in Nevoinim la'uma, they, both the Chachmei HaTorah, Sanhedrin, and the Nevi'im, were the wise Eitzik givers to Klal Yisrael, Umochichera, the people that rebuked them, Vekosa Zichron Aseh, and the people that wrote his history, Heimei Moshe Umah, these are the heads of the nation. So this is sort of the climax of it. So the Kuzari says, hey, in Kenya says, Enchem Ayonkim, Gufalei Roish Lelev. So you're telling me that basically you're a decapitated, heartless body. You've got the hands, the feet, you've got this, that, and everything. You've got nothing. Hey, you're missing the main point of the question. So basically, you've explained yourself out of relevance. So you're telling me basically irrelevant. There's nothing left to you. So Omar Chavas, so he answered to him, Kena Dova Shamarta, you're right. G'doylem Yisais, I'll tell you something more than that. Af loy guf, I can't even see myself as a body, kim evarim mefuzarim. These were scattered limbs. They're not even in one place. May not it's the dry bones that Yechezkel saw. Ulam el hakuzrim, he says. But listen, and here is he says one of the most profoundest points. Let's give a mashal outside first, and then we'll see it inside. Imagine you took a person and you showed him. These IQ tests you have match what's like what. You take a living person, exhibit A. You take a statue, like from Madame Tussauds Museum that looks exactly like the person, and that's exhibit two. And then you take one cell, a little cell with an intact cell of that living person, and that's three. And you ask somebody, A, the living person is like this or like this. So if you ask a child, we'll say, it's simple. They look exactly alike. Like you couldn't tell the difference. It's like, I remember there was a museum like that in New York, I forgot what it was called, also had these very lifelike models, and one of the shtick was there'd be a workman sleeping there. You never knew if it really was him. Everybody was always busy kicking him to try to figure out, because that was the one that didn't know if, it looked like it might actually be a real guy who sort of snuck up. So you ask a person, which is which? Which is more? The answer is that look-alike is dead and will forever and ever be dead, and it only looks alike. A living cell, a cell, not even living, if it has the DNA, it can become that person all over again. The same thing. He says, Ula mel hakuzim, hatsoma sahim, those dry bones, asher nishtaya ben dvarma mitevah b'chaim, that have something left over from the living one. Vasher shimshu lefanim kelim l'roish v'leleiv. Once upon a time, this was a vessel for a heart, for a mind, for a spirit, for a seichel. Toivus hei, min agufus amagulofos mam leshay shamgir. Infinitely better than bodies carved out of stone or marble.
Asher Roshim, and they have heads, they have an imitation of all the living organs. Ach me'olam esam rochayim, there never was any life to it, v'lo yitochim k'tishcha mehem, and it's impossible there ever will be living like that. Kitzuros mechakes hem, they are imitations. Tzuros hadomos la'odam, they look human, ach odam human, they aren't human. That tiny cell with the DNA is human. That stature that looks exactly like it is inhuman. Kidvarah HaKenos. God says, yes, you're right. And then the Chava continues. Ha'umos ha'mesos, those dead nations. It means nations that are still alive and kicking today. But they don't have a ruach to them. Asher nisu l'chakso m'chai, they imitated us. Christianity and Islam are Judaism remakes, imitations. Higil l'chola yoysel dimachitzayim. They created an outward semblance, temples, priests, all sorts of rituals, etc. They created temples. Never was there a divine spark in those temples. They went through the rituals of prophecy. They never received it. Says, I'll tell you something else. When they did wrong, when they sinned, they never had fire come down from Shemayim, they never had a holocaust, nothing. Just like a living, having of something is living. I remember I once went to a dentist and there was an issue of possibly a root canal. So he touches it with something like very hot. He asked me, do you feel any pain? I said, no. Then he touches something very cold and says, no. So I felt good. I said, it doesn't hurt. He says, buddy, it's dead. It's coming out. You know, if an umat, we recognize a living organism is always responding. And pleasure and pain are the same in measuring something living. And therefore, he says, these nations, they never had ruchnius, they never had a real alukus, and they never suffered what we suffered because it's dead. When it's dead, there's no pain feedback. He said, Kashbar doesn't feedback. They never got a response back. Kashbar said, you're bad, and this is the punishment you're getting. What happened to Umas Olam, when they became irrelevant, they disappeared. There never was a pain mechanism of Kindalach, Dutshuva, and so on and so forth. Ninveh was an exception, we need to know why, and so on. Vikasha Nifka Liba, Matsaloyma, Bais, Hashem, Chavsil, Sayem. When something happened to their temples, destroying the temples did nothing to them. And if anything happened to them, it only happened because it was weak or little or strong or whatever it is. The history of the world has natural historical flow. There are laws, so to speak, laws of history. History follows patterns, and you can sort of fit Umas Olam into it. Ulam Anachnis is us kasha nifka libeinu, who based in the Shenu, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, nechlinu, we became sick, we became devastated. In other words, when we talk about the Beis Hamikdash being destroyed, it's not one element of our self, it's the soul, it's the heart. V'kasha yoshu libeinu leisane, when that comes back, neirofe gam anachnu, then we will come back, we'll be healed again. Whether we're lot or small, it makes a difference. Why? Our God is a living God. He's holding on to us now. So the Kuzari tells him that what marks the Jewish people as being so different is the response that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us in extraordinary ways. You think about it. Israel is a tiny blip on the map. My son was once flying, I guess, from Israel. No, he was flying. He was from Europe, and he was sitting next to an Indian from India, and he was talking to him. And I think it was the first time he'd seen a Jew, and he was talking to my son. And then, on sort of an intuition, my son asked him, "Tell me something. How many Jews do you think are on the world?" So he said, he estimated 70 to 80 million Jews. So my son told him, probably not a tenth of that. So he says, can't be. You make way too much noise. And it's real. You know, and also, I mean, how did we go from 60 years ago from almost not existing to thriving like we never thrived before? There's nothing natural about that cycle, completely unnatural, because it's guided by different type of feedback. We don't know much, we don't understand very much of it, but it's a very different. And that's why we carry ourselves, even though we're not prominent, we carry ourselves in a way that is a testament to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because when our Ruchnius Tikkun Matzav is bad, then everything collapses. And that's why we keep looking back to the Beis HaMikdash destruction as being the root of all our things that went wrong, because that's really, so just like when you take someone who suffered something as a trauma when he's young, you keep referring back to that all his life, because that was a very essential part of a person. Beis HaMikdash is a very much essential part of ourselves, and therefore sorrows that come after that come from it. This is one piece of the Kuzari I want to go through, and I want to go through one more piece. The next one is the very end of the Sefer. It's a page 10. Achad Varim. It's very interesting, because during the Sefer itself, the king rebukes the Chava. The king tells the Chava, I don't say something. I think you're a little bit of a hypocrite, because you talk so much about Eretz Yisrael, and you're here. And the guy said, touche, you won. You scored a real point on that one. That was, you know, he put it in deliberately. I mean, he said yes. But he's asking him here an important question. Achad Varim Eli says, he sort of narrates the event. After all this whole book over here, Gam Achav Lil says, Akuzar left at Yisrael. He decided he's going to leave Kuzar and go to Yerushalayim. But Kuzari Kassel Peri Sachava, and the Kuzari was very upset. He really got to like this person. V'dibim Malkach. The Umrah, he spoke to me and said, what are you looking for in Eretz Yisrael today? Shashchina deres mimena. I was once sitting next to two people. One of them was an old-time Yid who went through the war and was a survivor, came to America, built up very nice business, was prospering, very Hamish Yid, Borough Park, doing very well. The second one was somebody much younger than him, somebody who grew up in America, Yeshiva Bacha, but kind of with it sophisticated, lived in Manhattan. Those are the two. And I caught the following conversation. The older man tells him, Shlomo, he says, do you know the difference between me and you? He says, when Mashiach is going to come, I'm going to catch my breath. I'm going to say, Rabbi Mashiach, I have a very strong position in the stock market now. The housing market's not great. Could you wait a few weeks? I'll get rid of the stocks. I'll sell off the houses. And so on. I'll go to Israel and with you. That's that. He says, you Shlomo, you're going to tell him, Mashiach. I mean, it doesn't pass. Mashiach should live in some second-rate Middle East country. We'll get you a nice house in Yerushalayim, an apartment, but we'll get you a place on the west side. That's really where you belong. He says, that's between you and me. And it was something very, it was a very good characterization of, you know, that feeling. Like, he says, what are you looking for in Eretz Yisrael? Because I says, it's a third world country, dried up, nothing left there. But he means it. It says, even Ruchnius. My Eretz Yisrael. Hashchina deres, there's no Shechina there. V'lakir v'lalakai, and to become closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Halav shasiga b'chol makom, adi aleva torah v'adi tshuka hazokala. If your heart's pure, and you have real tshuka, then wherever you go, then, you know, you sit down with the Gemara, you stay in Shemoneh Esra, you're standing close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And why go through the dangers of the desert and the oceans and the hatred of the nations around? I guess some things are timeless. Omar Chava, Achen, he says. So he answers, which to us is our hashkafic understanding of Eretz Yisrael today, what it is and so on. Omar Achen, he says, Hashchina haniris ayin bayin nederes gam Eretz Yisrael. The palpable, tangible Shchina, in the sense that we saw things that almost overtly were an experience of Shechina, whether it's Nisim of sorts, whether it's Hashkacha, or just the sense that a person had in a way that didn't leave much room for doubt, that is not there anymore. Ki Hashchina shoreh rak al Novi, the Shechina either dwells on a Novi, or al Tzibur Rotzi l'Elokai, or on a group of people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with them, and the Maisim. In other words, this, I guess, is the Gemara Brachas, that on 22,000
Jews the Shechina Shaira. Ooh, he says, and another condition, he says, V'rach b'mokam ha'myuchad. Only in a certain place, which means Yerushalayim. And this is what we're mispowel for. This is what we're waiting for the fulfillment of we should see it ayin ba'ayin. Ukamoshan amur tefillasein, it's like we say in our tefillas, v'sechazen einenu b'shufchol nafcha v'tzion. So it's like different gersa. So I want to just emphasize a point that may slip through. He's saying something very interesting here in Pshat Nadavi. The Pashtat means we should live to see the return to the Tzion. The point that he's emphasizing is the return to Tzion is the quote unquote visible perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think in line with the way he's describing it means right now we have to sort of extrapolate the divine from things. We should be zocher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu returning to Tzion is kind of a perception analogous to sight. Avla shchina nisteres, but there's a hidden shchina, a ruchnius. He in kol ben Yisrael zacha meisim utar levov, asher kol maaseh nafshoi kodesh l'Elokei Yisrael. The hidden shchina is with every Jew whose meisim are pure and his desires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you're right. But where it's Yisrael, Yam Yuchedes Elokei Yisrael, as Yisrael is unique in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's focus, ve'ein ha'maisim shleimim ki'im bo. And the maisim are not really complete except in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Eretz Yisrael adds a dimension to our ruchnistic fulfillment of mitzvahs that we don't have in Chutz Laretz. So you're right. Today, it's not going to be in the overt way, but the dimension of ruchnis that's added to a person's maisim, that happens in Eretz Yisrael. V'harbe mitzvah shel Yisrael betelos b'shem dabar Eretz Yisrael. And we can do many mitzvahs. Mitzvah tulis ba'aretz, all sorts of other mitzvahs. V'alev lo yizach, v'akavona lo tia kula kodesh lo loikai, kim b'mokam asher yomen olav kim yuchad lo loikai. And the heart will not be pure, and the kavana will not be kula kodesh except for that place. Ach kishein b'muna zois kim dimya v'mashal. Even if all we have is just a mashal, al achas kam kama im emunas emes v'shachach zois v'mala. And he explains it kiostis or a shuk and so on. And we don't have the time to go through, to keep going through it. But he says this is what we do have left over. As far as the sakani goes, he says you know people for business put themselves in a lot greater danger and so on. So I want to just re-emphasize this point here also. If somebody will tell you, if you speak to, I want to put a very clear focus, how we understand it, so how to kuzari. Let's say I'm talking to a great music, somebody with tremendous musical talent and accomplishment, and he tells me, you know, all the other fiddles grate on your nerve. A Stradivarius is the only thing that's beautiful. You just pick up Stradivarius and it plays by itself. So I said to myself, okay, costs a lot of money, but you save yourself on the lessons. I'm also not terribly capable. A public disclaimer, I play absolutely nothing. And here I have my chance to make it big. So I go out and buy a Stradivarius. What do I get for that? Nothing. Because I'm not playing. If I knew how to play, and if I were to play, there's Eina Doma yes, he's right. There's no comparison this. Eretz Yisrael in itself, one should be very wary of automatic kedushas. Nothing in Judaism comes automatically. And you can't be automatically close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as automatic. It requires input. So if somebody says, by being an Eretz Yisrael, you are a different person, my answer would be no. Eretz Yisrael is where you can be another person. And it's important to bear it in mind. It's not a substitute for accomplishment. So on the one hand, we have a frustrating situation where even Bizman Azeh, whatever we do, doesn't quite carry the dimension of Kedusha that it does in Eretz Yisrael. That's something that is true. But it's only true in as much as we do something. If we don't do something, then Eretz Yisrael itself is, in a certain sense, it's a bigger heartache when a person does have it and is not using it. So Eretz Yisrael, for us, the word religion and Zionism, in its right definition, doesn't go together. It's one and the same. What we're looking for in Eretz Yisrael is that sense that is really a person's focal point for his life. We believe that our life is dedicated to becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we do, everything that's asked of us, is with that focus, to bring a person, to make a person nobler, more of a spirit than a physical presence, and that makes you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael is the framework where it can happen to a degree that can never happen in Chutz Laretz. But it's one and the same. There is nothing, there is no one without the other. They are the same thing. It's just one is action, one is place, and when Mashiach comes is the time element. Those are all three dimensions of one and the same description. So the two points in Kuzari, these are very profound points, and I, if you have a feel for the language, it's extraordinary. It's beautiful language, is simply, even though it's a translation, but just the two things. The first one was he spoke about Klal Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash being the repository for the heart Neshama Klal Yisrael, for the fact that Bizman Hazeh, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, in a certain sense, we are decapitated, heartless, we're missing, and everything is just scattered. We don't have a nation. We have a lot of people huddling together, but a sense of a real nation we can't have because the neshama of it is missing. But what we do have is the smallest thing that we have are the genes of a living organism. And everything that we have has itself the ability to sprout. It's like a plant. Almost anything of it that put in the right conditions, it'll sprout anew because it's life. That's the nature of living things. So Klal Yisrael might be ground to dust, but it's not dust, it's spores. And every bit of it has itself in a neshama to grow out. That's the first point he made. Whereas whatever splendor the garden has no neshama to it, and it's dead. It's a museum piece. It's not a living entity. The second piece they spoke about is what Eretz Yisrael is, and he explains that Eretz Yisrael, we do not have the overt Ashras Hashem that we had, and that's our tefillos of Sechzena. That's what we hope for, Lasilavo. Eretz Yisrael for us today does carry, however, the ability to bring out the best, to bring out our most ruchnistic side. Whatever we do, if we do it in Eretz Yisrael, it has a lot more potential than we do in Chutz Laretz. That's why a person yearns to live in Eretz Yisrael now, and that's what we're looking forward to, Lasilavo. Very, very nice.